Hello, all. In the first like 5-6 minutes of this episode, there's a story that could trigger emetophobia. I don't know if I said that right, but stay safe. Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk, everyone. We asked for crazy observation stories today. Remember the one story that we had like in the very beginning where we talked about observations and it was like the person like puking in the room?
Oh my God, yes.
I should
and
play
they just
that
kept
again.
Observing.
Yes. I really want to play this one again. So I'm going to put it right here and we're going to listen and go down memory lane from episode like, I don't know, in our infancy. We've done a lot of episodes. Anyways, here we go. I've been at my current job for 3 years, and my evaluations are usually super low-key and more performative than anything. Most of the time, my admin doesn't even stay in the room the entire class period, and he rarely provides any heads-up as to when he will be evaluating me. In October, he decides to come do an eval on a day that I am team teaching with the other teachers that I work with. There is a student sitting on a beanbag chair and is sleeping. I walk over to him, touch his shoulder, and ask him to wake up and log into the website. He's kind of groggy, but I just assume he didn't sleep well the night before and got too comfy in the beanbag chair. I bend down and whisper to him that I need him to at least open his Chromebook because I was getting evaluated. As I'm standing back up, his friend tells me that the kid isn't feeling well. At that exact moment, I start to hear retching noises from the beanbag, and he pukes all over his Chromebook backpack and the beanbag and himself. Before I see it, I smell it and I start gagging. My microphone is still on, so my dry heaving is projecting across the classroom through the speaker to my absolute horror, but I can't stop. I look over to the back of the room and it seems like my admin is oblivious. I look back down at the kid who is now slumped over in his own vomit and contemplate all the life choices that have led me to this moment.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. As I'm trying to assist the student, I continue gagging the entire time. I did have enough wits about me to tear off my microphone at some point so it wasn't being blasted to the entire building. I start locating Lysol wipes and paper towels and throwing them at the mess, all while I have students who are still asking me questions about how to enter their info into the system. Of course they're still asking questions.
I love high schoolers, because you will be literally at your lowest of lows. Like, you will be going through so much, and they're like, hey, by the way, how do you send an email?
No.
And you're like, not right now. The Britney Spears mic is what's sending me. I'm just imagining all the other kids
and the admin not
reacting
noticing.
To that. That admin was like, damn, this fucking Tetris game on my little Lenovo laptop is going crazy hard right now.
How do the kids keep asking about their logins and shit? How is that happening while you're gagging?
They would ask.
And you're team teaching, so your colleagues are there.
Oh my God, I forgot about that aspect of it. Where's the other lady?
I'm
What's
dead.
She doing?
I literally yelled pre-K pause to signal to them to shut the fuck up while I dealt with the bodily fluids that had created a splash zone in the middle of the classroom. Still, no reaction from my admin. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
He really, like, he went to that district seminar where they're like, a good evaluator is not seen or heard. You have to blend in. And the environment should be like, you never even entered the room. That's how the environment should be. They took that so fucking seriously. At the end of the presentation where they said, what did you learn today? That's what they said. Yeah. And they said, this is a test. This is what they, in that moment, they're probably thinking, they're like, this is the test right now to see if I react. And I'm going to follow my training.
Oh, here we go. When my partner teacher realizes what's happening, he begins to help.
There it is.
He begins to help by getting the sick student to the bathroom and calling the office to let them know to contact the kid's mom. He starts laughing at my gagging, which doesn't help. As I'm throwing paper towels down on the mess, like a scene out of Big Daddy, one of our regular troublemakers yells unironically, "Grab a bucket and a mop." At this point, I'm sure my admin has to be doing something helpful, like maybe calling a janitor on his walkie-talkie, but no. Still typing on his computer, he continues to give no reaction or provide any assistance.
I would give anything for whatever he was typing. Whatever he was working on, I would give anything to live read it right now. He probably was doing the Wordle.
I know. I am happy to report that said troublemaker did actually grab the bucket and mop from our shop and began to help clean up the mess after I threw some gloves at him while I continued to dry heave because that smell was now thick in the room. After the 10-minute vomit detour, we got back on track with the lesson. Never once did the admin say anything or do anything, and I am still left wondering how he didn't freaking react to any of that. Not to mention, no mention of it in my eval. And if I hadn't had my teaching partner there to witness it, I would have sworn it was all a dream. I just can't believe that they didn't help. They didn't move.
They didn't do anything. This is a crazy ass observation. I want to see what they went back to the office and said.
I want to read the notes. It's like when something goes wrong when you're doing standardized testing with the book.
They said, just observe.
Yeah.
I always tell the kids when we're doing standardized testing and they're annoyed that I'm like being so strict and by the book, I always tell them that they can take me to jail if I mess it up.
It feels like that level of seriousness though. Like it's very scary.
I'm like, do not break the sticker on your booklet. They will literally arrest me.
If we work together, I would dress up like a cop and I would come in and pretend to arrest you.
You'd have a fake mustache.
Yeah.
You'd be like, no, it's not.
Not me. They'd be like, we can literally tell.
Real talk, though. For anyone that is listening to this, don't do that. We're joking. Because you never know what a child has in their past.
We're joking.
You don't know what they have witnessed in their own home. So don't joke about that with kids. You can joke about that with your friends, not with kids.
Yeah, exactly. God, guys. Stop.
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 That was not okay.
Don't ever say that in the presence of a child again.
If you're playing this for your class, turn it off.
Remember when you sent me the videos of the principals pretending to be Elf on a Shelf on the roof?
I'm so glad more than one principal has done this. I love is that I sent you one that was a teacher who was like, I love my principal. This is amazing. And then the one that was a parent that was like, my son's school is always doing the most.
Yeah. That's like the energy that I feel we would bring as coworkers. And it's why we cannot ever and will never cross paths in that professional setting. The theatrics. Because you love a theatric and I love a theatric.
No, we would be a nightmare together. But it would be really fun if you got a job at the element. Like my school campus, like the elementary school, our feeder school is like literally across the street. That would be fun.
That would be incredible. We could have like little buddies.
So they do a thing. Like my students go there and they read with the kids. Like they're supposed to read to them. And I love when they come back because they'll be like, Miss Redacted, those kids were so bad. They didn't even listen to the book. And I'm like, yeah. I also feel sad when people don't listen to what I have to say. I'm like, hurts, doesn't it? They were like, we literally like planned everything out and they were just like playing and talking. And I was like, yeah, it is hurtful when you plan something out and everyone's just playing and talking.
Yeah, have a little empathy, guys. So we are reading some crazy observation stories. My last school was very like chill and loosey-goosey with them, but it was almost worse for me because you can't plan for your observation. They just come in. And there are some days when I am just not feeling like a top-notch educator and I just want to like read the textbook. And that's not a good observation.
It's always awkward when like you have some random YouTube video on the screen and then they walk in and they're like, yeah, guys. So now we're going to, you have to like pretend like something's going on.
Yeah, my pregnant ass was like rolling around the room in the chair. Like
I do that now.
People are always like, well, how did you teach when you were so sick? And I was like, well, the trash can was in the hallway so that I could run out and barf in the hallway. And then I rolled around the room and didn't really stand a lot because I was going to throw up. And all the kids would say, our teacher's sick all the time.
Yeah.
Our teacher's got a baby in her belly and she's sick.
I am. And I do.
Yeah. Anyways, this one says, our principal told the new teacher I mentor in her mid-year eval all the indicators he still needs evidence for so she's not rated basic. He's only observed her teach 2 times. That's his fucking job. I glanced at the list and named off things she does regularly, and I haven't been in her room as much as I would like to either. This is also what he did to me last year, the last year I was on a provisional contract. Okay, so this person got off the provisional contract and said, actually, fuck you. I love that you stuck up for the mentor, your mentee. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't because you can kind of get backlash for it. So I get it. You can't die on everyone's hill. But I'm glad that you stood up for that person because they needed it.
Someday I'm going to get off a provisional contract. I can't say that word. Provisional contract. And I'm going to, like, it is going to be the best day of my life. This person says, this is why teacher evals are garbage, because principals don't actually observe and give real feedback and support. They give lists of indicators and we send evidence. It helped my teaching practice, literally not at all. Shitty teachers get pushed by and continue to harm students and colleagues for that matter. And new teachers who want to improve don't get the guidance and support, actual observations, and then it cut off.
What gets me about observations, this has always been my problem with it. I like that at least they're sending you a list of evidence. What really pisses me off is when I get observed and then I get like an email or a little feedback thing that's like, we didn't see the kids working in groups. And I'm like, well, you were here for 11 minutes. You're not going to see everything that we do within 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, it really makes me angry when someone says about an observation, I didn't see blank. And I'm like, well, were you in here all day, every single day? And like at my last district, when I got, they were like, I didn't observe you giving vocabulary instruction. And I was like, we literally do a word of the day every day. You just happened to not be in the room when that happened.
Yeah.
Like, I think as an administrator, if you're giving feedback on an observation, before you can say you didn't do X, you have to ask, like, what do you do for this? Because you're not there all day, every day. So unless you observed an entire day or an entire class period, I really don't want to hear it.
I like that we could get not applicables.
I like that.
But I know that that's not, like, standard.
My old admin would do, like, the we didn't see, but my new admin, they'll just come back. Like, one day they were trying to observe me, but I was giving a test, so they just, like, came on a different day.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No, my old district, one time that literally happened. I was giving the district assessment and got negative feedback for it. They were like, your classroom wasn't engaged. The kids were just being quiet. They weren't even working together. And I was like, I was literally giving them your assessment, but thanks. And they said, next time, don't do that during an observation. And I was like, so the assessment I have to give them, you don't want to witness that happening. You just want me to do that in the shadows of the night.
And plus there's deadlines for those. It's not like you can like just not do them.
And they literally, I was like, it's due. And my admin told me, because that it was the district observing me and we would find out the morning of. And they said, next time switch the lesson for that day so that they don't see that. And I said, so I should change the test date that my students know about and that has been on the board. That really sends a great message.
That's awful.
Just so the district doesn't have to see the effects of a policy. They create it. Like, they made the test. Why would they be upset with the kids taking it? Y'all literally call me and scream at me if they don't take it.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's horrid. This person says, during my teacher review, I asked where they were getting this info from since I had never been observed. My director said, sometimes we peek through the window. In what universe does looking through the window in my door for a couple seconds count as an observation? There is no way they could hear anything that way.
No, that's like so funny that she looked at you and said that. She's like, I peeked on in that window, girl.
Oh, God. Early this year, the principal, assistant principal, and assistant superintendent observed my class on the day most of the school was taking the district literacy diagnostic.
Not the diagnostic.
No. My co-teacher was out proctoring, so I was solo. And for some reason, I was also remotely coordinating the test for all 11th graders. So as I was teaching my lesson, I was also fielding phone calls and texts from teachers asking me to start students' tests. Admin wanted me to try to solo teach 25 students, half of whom were on an IEP, and manage 75 test sessions at the same time. I have no idea how I survived that lesson. It was all adrenaline. That is crazy.
They really said, hey, can you go into sport mode real quick? Can you just shift it into maximum overdrive?
Have you ever seen anybody play DDR across two different DDR machines in the mall?
It's non-consensual education dance dance revolution.
This one says, was told my lesson was unorganized because students didn't repeat the SMART objective multiple times during my lesson.
I will give $1,000 to anyone who has had a child with no prompting mention the SMART goal. I will give you $1,000 cash right now.
It's giving one room schoolhouse if they want your kids to like parrot the SMART goal back to you.
They just literally don't need to know it. And like, I get it. I get where our head is at. But I feel like now in education, we've added on so many things that, like, why would they need to know that? Like, the fact that on our boards, a lot of teachers are required to have like the standard, the success criteria, the learning goal, like at a certain point, we need to just like be adults about it and look at each other and realize that we're literally not helping at all. Like we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic and me putting up a success criteria, I don't think is really going to change what's going on. An agenda I will get. I think that's beneficial because see what the fuck's going on today. Mm-hmm. Now that we have a goal, a criteria, an objective, like a stand, like they ain't reading all that. No. They don't even read the work I give them.
Come on. This one says, principal marked me down for not doing something he didn't see because he had left the room for 10 minutes.
For sure. For sure, dog. For sure.
Don't you know that you're supposed to pause and wait for your administrator to witness your performance? Would you give a performance to an empty auditorium?
I would is the thing.
Every day is a performance.
No administrators here. So we're going to...
There have been times that I did that.
Really?
There have been times that for an observation, I had a lesson on deck and I literally wouldn't teach it.
The big thing for my observations is they always want to make sure that you're on pace. Every time that's a district person comes, I get an email that says, great job being on pace. And I'm like, what's going on with everyone else?
One thing that I did have at one of my schools was if anyone came and observed you, which we got observed like multiple times a week, sometimes daily, you had to be teaching the same thing that your neighbor was teaching, that the rest of the grade level was teaching. Like if they came in at 10:40, you better all be doing the same exact phonics lesson at the same exact time.
I really cannot reiterate how much I hate schools that like abide by that logic, because I think, speaking for myself and everyone else, I'm my best teacher self when like I created it. Like when I try and do curriculum that like other people made, or I just like try and buy something off Teachers Pay Teachers real quick, it's just never as good because it's not authentic to me and like my teaching style. And the kids can tell.
Oh yeah, they can for sure tell. I really liked the team planning aspect of it. Like I liked that we all planned together and had kind of whatever. But there was a year before I got there that my teacher bestie got in trouble for making an anchor chart that wasn't implemented in another classroom. But she was like, my kids really needed this. Like they needed a visual and it wasn't a part of the lesson. And they were like, well, you need to be on what everybody else is doing.
That's what drives me insane is it's like you have what should be an administrator's dream. Someone that can quickly assess student need, pivot and meet that need. And you're punishing people for having a very important skill of being able to adjust and reflect and implement something that's going to work for the setting that they're in, which is different in every classroom, even if it's the same grade.
The school in general did get a little more loosey-goosey with it, but it took a lot, you know? I think there was pressure coming from the top down through our instructional coaches that had to then be like on us, and like that's just always how it goes. It's like these asinine things that are placed on people that aren't even really boots on the ground in the school.
Yeah, God, this country's a mess.
Amen, sister friend. And this one says, a student looked at me during internship while videotaping my lesson and asked why under my eyes was so dark.
Wait, what did you just say?
Sometimes for student teaching, you have to like film, like for the EdTPA, you have to film yourself teaching. And on video, one of her students goes, why is under your eyes so dark?
Stop.
And one of the things is like your video can't be super edited. So like if that was in like a really crucial part of your EdTPA, you cannot edit that
out. You can't just like clip it out.
No. And you also have to then explain in your EdTPA how you handled that and addressed it. I can't.
I was getting observed yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And thankfully, it's peer observations. So it's like just us to get ideas and stuff. So the only people observing me were my friend who teaches down the hall and then the reading coach for the English department. And literally they came in. They actually really came in at like a slay time. It was, we were finishing whole group and like transitioning to work time, so I was like, perfect timing. And I was giving my students a new assignment, and one of them literally goes, Miss Redacted, we talked about this, you have to stop giving us assignments.
Oh my god.
I responded to her the same way I would have if there was an observer in the room. I said, I'm really sorry, I promise it's really not that bad. And then she scrolled and she said, girl, it's 4 pages. And I said, but there's a lot of pictures.
Who doesn't love pictures, friend? Let's get popping on the assignment. This person says, we were told that it's impossible to earn distinguished ratings because kindergarten kids can't be fully self-sufficient, and proof of that is a requirement.
Ugh. I, in my last district, was told a very, very similar thing, except somehow worse. I was told, so we had like a office that was like the office of overseeing poorly performing schools. They had a name, but that was what I would refer to them as. And that is who would do our observations, not the district. Everything was through these people. They literally looked me in my face, this lady, and told me that I would never, ever get, I don't remember what the top category was, but I would never get into like that perfect category because then there would be no reason for that office to exist. So they have to defend their funding in their observations. So they literally, she was so nice to tell me this because she could tell I was like really getting torn up about like the negative feedback. And she said, she was like, you really have to stop getting your feelings hurt because they are going to say something negative every single time we come in here. Because if we can't find anything negative, why does our office have salaried employees?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I hate it here.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is hell. Perfect.
I was like, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
There are genuinely so many things that like are not fully realized for kindergarten. Things come up all the time where you're like, okay, and what's kindergarten going to do? And what's kinder going to do? Because, you know, they're not self-sufficient. And, like, there are a lot of things where
it's a very different vibe.
It's like, great, so if I leave this district, I can't take my observations with me because they're never going to be as shiny and perfect as they could be. Oh, my God. My first observation ever, one of my kids took her pants off in the middle of the lesson. What do you mean?
What grade do you teach?
I know. That makes a big difference. I have different questions for different things. Oh, no. They came in the day after my grandma died and still counted it towards my eval score. No.
Oh, no. Fraz, I will say, your story about your old school where like literally like 20, 30 people would come observe you provided a lot of emotional comfort at my school on Monday when we started doing peer observations because some people were getting a lot of anxiety that like five of us were coming in together. And I was like, my friend used to have 30.
Regularly.
I was like, at least you know us.
Mm-hmm. And they would come mill about and talk to the children. So I don't know if anybody's been listening this long. I told this story a long time ago, but I student taught and taught at schools where observations were very, very normalized to the point where like the first school was like a model school. It's, I feel like I can say this. I don't know if it's, I think it's fine. I student taught at Chime Charter, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger's charter school in Los Angeles. And it is an inclusive school.
Interesting.
Yeah. They pay the teachers lower than LAUSD, but the resources that this school has is like low-key bananas.
Yeah, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. I would hope so.
Yeah. And of course, there's like drama. And this is the school that I interviewed at that had me on a panel. And I bombed my demo lesson because they just throw you in a class you've never been in and nobody helps you.
Interesting strategy.
So I student taught there and I was desperate to be there. And they would regularly have 20, 30 people come to this school to observe inclusion. This was right before Betsy DeVos started her bullshit about charter schools. And she wanted to come to Chime. And Chime was like, no, you are not welcome to come to this school. They were like, we're a charter, but we're not. You're thinking of something else. Like, I need you to go away.
They're like, for sure. And it's a hard no.
Yeah.
They're like, love where your head is at. Immediately no.
Yeah. This is not the place that you think it is. But so they built in the new building, between every two classrooms, there was a small corridor that had one-way mirrors. So in the classroom, it looked like a mirror, but it was actually an observation passageway that people would come and watch your room without you even knowing that they were there, as opposed to people just walking around and talking to the kids and like blah, blah, blah. I mean, there were times student teaching, I looked around and I was like, there are 8 adults in this room right now. The ratio was like 1 to 3. Like, it was amazing.
Yesterday when my friend was observing me, she kept raising her hand and I was like, you're not a student right now. I was like, stop raising your hand. I know you know the answer.
Oh my God. When I would observe my friends, some days it would be, I'm just being a little butt. And then some days I would be on my computer doing something else and I'd be like, teach away, girl. You got it. you're killing it. I have a lesson plan or get these grades in right now.
That was my plan. It's funny that you say that because we did the peer observations on Monday and I walked in with my laptop and my administrator, she goes, you don't need your computer. I was like,
I do.
Okay, for sure.
I'm taking notes.
We were moving around too much. So we were only in each room for a couple of minutes.
Nice.
We went on tour. I saw parts of the school I've never seen. I don't get out much. That's one thing about me is I want to see as little of the school as possible. Like, I really only go to my classroom and my car in the front office.
I think I can count on one hand how many times I was in the cafeteria at my last school. I don't know.
They gave me, like, our schedule for morning duty because we take turns. And they were like, okay, this will be your station for the weeks that you're on morning duty. And I was like, awesome. Follow-up question. Where is that? I was like, can you drop me off the first day, please?
This person says, a kid went to the bathroom and I forgot about him until 25 minutes later when admin asked about it.
Stop.
Which, like, that does happen.
I am notorious for that. It's so bad. Especially because at my school, each teacher gets one hall pass and you're only allowed to let one kid leave at a time. Mm. So I just make them, like, write on the whiteboard if there's a waiting list, and then they'll just go give it to the next person.
Yeah.
So, like, that's their business. Like, they really handle that between each other. That's really not my problem. And, like, if someone takes a long time, the other kids yell at them, so I really don't have to.
Self-sufficient.
It's an ecosystem that just goes on its own. Mm-hmm. So when an administrator is like, hey, where's so-and-so? I'm like, that is a great question.
For an admin to call it out during an observation, I would die.
Or when one of the other kids is like, who has the pass? I'm like, who does have the pass?
That is a wonderful question. If a kid's gone too long in elementary school, they're almost always playing in the sink. Jay loves the sink. Gonna be an issue one day.
When I taught pre-K, there was a kid who was really into the sink, and I would, like, wash his hands first, because at that school it was big, like, they were one, so they were really big on, like, you don't do it for them, you do it with them. So it's not like I could just go around and wipe off with, like, wet wipes everyone's hands. I'd have to take them one by one to the sink, and we would wash them together. And I would always do him first because he was so excited. And then I would try and get him distracted with something, because if he saw another kid washing their hands, he would make, like, a beeline for the sink and shove them out of the way, like, faster than you've ever seen anything. And then just start, like, putting the water down his shirt and his hair. Like, he wanted to be in the water. And I was like, no, please, for the love of God, stop.
He and Jay would be fast friends. Just my fourth year teaching, and I've been observed a total of 4 times. 0 this year.
That's the opposite of a problem, babe. Like, count your lucky stars.
At my last district, you got observed once every other year. And they were like, it's an observation year. And everyone was like, oh, man.
It's an observation year is a crazy-ass sentence.
Yeah, people are like, is it your observation year?
At my last district, I usually got observed, like, 2 to 6 times a month, which was traumatizing. Here, I have had 2 official observations where they wrote stuff down and sent it to me. 2 just, like, they were in there, not really sure why. And then 1 peer observation in 6 months.
I feel like that's pretty good.
That's about once a month. Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling very comfortable with that number.
I think it's nice when they, like, want to coach you and make you better and help, as long as it's actually helpful, which sometimes it sounds like it wasn't, but
I'm very happy because the 2 times I got, like, officially observed this year, I didn't get negative feedback. So y'all can do that whenever you want. I love it when you come and then to my room and watch, and then you just email me a compliment. Keep doing that.
So this one says, oh my God, what do you mean? Wait, I had to break up 2 fights and confiscate a knife. In 1 observation?
During the observation. I want to know if those administrators stepped in. When the knife came out, were they still like, it's an observation? So we're just going to observe how you handle the situation.
I was going to say, I'd call you, but you're sitting in my room.
They're like, okay, I'm going to run back to my office, and then you call me. Call me in 2 minutes, so it'll be like it's real, and then I'll come back.
This person's principal answered and took a phone call during their observation.
That's kind of iconic. Like, I want to know what the phone call was. Like, imagine you're, like, in the middle of getting observed, and then your principal is literally just on the phone and they're like, no, I need the wax on Thursday. No, I said I cannot do Wednesday. It has to be Thursday.
This can't be real. The principal left 10 minutes in, changed into basketball shorts, and asked if I could cover for him while he quick balled with his boys. It was my first year teaching and my only observation that year.
What?
I've never I have never.
What does he mean cover for him? Couldn't he have just left? Why did he even tell you that? He literally just could have been like, okay, observation over, and left, and no one would have been the wiser. Why did
and who are his boys?
Okay, I have a theory. Maybe he was trying to see if you're like a rat. Like, maybe it was like you know how sometimes in the mafia they'll tell people something fake to see if they go tell someone? Like, maybe it was that.
Who is he going to play basketball with?
He just wanted to see if you were real.
That is
crazy. It kids, or does he invite random adult men to come to the school to ball with him? He's on the phone with his friend, and he's like, dude, I got a regulation basketball court. We can really, like, ball out here. This is way better than your driveway, Craig.
This is what that phone call was about. It was actually the same person for a different submitter. Oh, my God.
Yo, boys, emergency balling session. How are we all feeling in the middle of this workday? Like, what are the other people's jobs that they can just do this?
I know. Oh, no. The superintendent fell asleep.
He was trying his best.
Nai-nai. This one I have mixed feelings about. Spent all of 3 minutes in my classroom, then sent me a glowing copy-pasted review.
No, I love that.
I love it.
Like, absolutely no notes. That's my ideal observation.
Like, no coaching is happening. You're not going to become a better teacher, but good job. I love when we would compare our reviews and they would just all be the same.
Oh, that's absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. One observation that I reacted to very poorly. So at my old school, my administrator had some health issues. So she was out for like over a month. So they found this lady. I have no idea where she came from, but apparently she worked at another school and she was like about to be promoted to be an administrator. So they had her come watch us for a month. She came to my classroom and the feedback she gave is she said, I don't actually teach and I just put them on the computers every day doing random stuff. And the way that I literally popped off on her, like I was on a Real Housewives reunion taping during our meeting to explain to her that the random stuff they are doing is all modules that I wrote from scratch based on the state curriculum for the EOC. I literally ate her up so bad. I shouldn't have done it because I got in trouble, but it made me so mad that she was like, she doesn't even like plan or teach. She just puts them on little random computer programs.
That is so frustrating to me.
My reading coach stood up for me though. She was like, no, they're not random programs. I was like, yeah, get her.
I love both being stood up for, obviously, but other people who, like, do that. Like, I love that.
Love, love, love that.
Well, that was fun. Thanks for talking to us about the bad things that happened in observation.
I like that we didn't get anyone who had, like, a super positive experience where they were like, I got observed and I really learned from that. I think that's really telling that no one had that kind of story to share.
Observations are just so, it's like checking a box, I feel.
The most impactful thing I've ever done in the observation universe is when they had me, because it was my first year and I had no idea what I was doing. So they had us, I was in like a professional development thing, and they had us go to another school to observe a teacher who taught exactly what we taught. That was the only time where I literally had like a light bulb moment and I was like, oh my God, I get it now. Because they had been wanting me to do more hands-on stuff with the kids, but all the examples they showed me just like didn't make any sense. And then when I saw it, like an actual teacher with actual kids teaching the exact same stuff I do, that's what made it click for me. For me, when I see people that don't teach what I teach, like when I'm observing math teachers, I'm very confused.
Yeah, of course. But like that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
So they would like get you a sub and then you could go?
I was in a thing where it was once a month for 6 months. We would go to another school for professional development. So they would get me a sub for that like once a month occasion. And this was one of the times we were at that other school. They were like, let's go look at this school's teacher. And it was just for U.S. history teachers. So like everyone in the PD taught U.S. history. It was the best PD I've ever done in my life. They gave us like actual tangible, like literally you would leave with a stack of activities for the kids. It was incredible. And from that moment, I think all professional development should be subject area specific.
Especially the secondary level.
Mm-hmm. Don't combine us.
No. There is nothing like learning from other teachers. I honestly think that is like the best thing.
Because we're all smart, gorgeous, and perfect.
We are.
We've never made mistakes.
No, never have.
And our observations should reflect it.
Everybody exceeds expectations in my book. Okay, darlings. Well, Toodaloo.
Hope everyone has a great rest of your day and a great observation season.
To all who celebrate, goodbye.
You exceed. You exceed. You exceed. We all exceeded.